It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. For many students, language learning is a big part of their education. In high school, you might take classes in Spanish or French, maybe German.
At the college level, the choices open up even more. Across the system, the universities of Wisconsin offer more than 60 languages, including Norwegian, Hmong, and Ojibwe, all of which are significant to heritage and immigrant populations in the state.
But language programs at Wisconsin colleges and universities are facing an uphill battle with federal funding cuts and changing state budget priorities.
At the start of the school year, the Trump administration canceled foreign language and area studies grants, leaving more than 50 students in Wisconsin without financial support they were counting on for their studies.
Now, campus leaders across the UW system are working to find a way forward for language learning programs, and later we'll hear from a language educator in Eau Claire.
But first, Francis Vavris is vice provost and dean of the International Division at UW-Madison. Francis, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you very much for having me.
We've been seeing funding cuts lately to university language programs from the federal level, including the cancellation of this Foreign Language and Area Studies Fellowship program. What does this mean for students in Wisconsin right now?
Thank you for the question, Rob. Yes, so the Foreign Language and Area Studies Fellowships, or FLAS Fellowships, are part of what is known as the Title VI program. So the Title VI program funds students to study less commonly taught languages, and it also funds our national resource centers. We have 8 national resource centers at the University of Wisconsin-Madison that provide all kinds of language-related and area studies-related programming for students on our campus and for K-14 schools across the state. So with the loss of Title VI funding, we wrote a reconsideration letter in the middle of September when we first learned of the non-continuation of the Title VI grants. And unfortunately, last week, we learned that our reconsideration request was denied. So we are now operating in an environment where we need to consider how we will keep our commitment to foreign language instruction and area studies going on our campus and across the United States. On our campus, 54 students were slated to receive foreign language and area studies fellowships. And unfortunately, then they will not have the opportunity to study those languages with the scholarship support that often is necessary to make that a possibility for students. That doesn't mean that they will not pursue those languages, but we do know that some students have faced very tough decisions about what they will study and whether they can continue in their studies without the scholarship.
I want to talk about the why of funding foreign languages. The Foreign Language and Area Studies Fellowships we're talking about, they used to be called, I guess, before the 1970s, the National Defense Foreign Language Fellowships. The idea that there is a national security interest in having Americans who can speak the languages that people speak around the world. Talk a little bit about the value, please, of having people know how to talk different languages, national security or otherwise.
Absolutely, Rob. So these programs came out of a particular moment, the launching of Sputnik in 1957. And so Title VI refers to part of the 1965 Higher Education Act, and that was designed to support foreign language and area studies for the defense of this country. So when I think about the importance of continuing with Title VI programming, defense and diplomacy certainly are very important objectives of these programs. We have graduates who receive FLAS fellowships and who have taken our area studies courses who go on to work in consular offices, who work in the Department of State, who work in the Department of Defense, and so forth. So these continue to be very important programs for both defense and democracy and diplomacy. So we think that these do meet national interests. We also feel that they're very important to remain economically competitive. We have a state economy that's deeply integrated into the global economy. And so for our businesses to have multilingual employees people who can speak languages where their companies are based, or to be part of multilingual teams, to have the kind of deep intercultural competence that's necessary to advance economic objectives. We see this also as part of the goals of the Title VI program and one of the reasons why we hope that they will continue. And then a final reason, I think, for these programs is the educational opportunities that studying foreign language provides. We have more than 470,000 people in the state of Wisconsin who speak a language other than English in their home. There are about 100 different languages spoken in the state of Wisconsin. And so when these children come to our schools, it's very beneficial if their teachers have had opportunities to study another language so they can understand, you know, the challenges and the benefits of developing multilingualism. There's also, I think, a deep satisfaction in learning another language. It develops critical thinking. And so we hope that these programs would continue for educational reasons as well.
UW-Madison, I think, in particular, is known for having a lot of programs in less commonly taught languages. There's an abbreviation, LCTLs. What kind of languages fall under this umbrella, and what do you see as the value of focusing on them?
Very good question. So less commonly taught languages, or LCTLs, as they are often known, are less commonly taught in U.S. schools, but they are very widely spoken languages. And this is sometimes a misconception about the languages. So a less commonly taught language in the United States is Arabic, which is spoken by more than 400 million people around the world. Hindi is another one, spoken by 345 million plus people. And Portuguese is also considered a less commonly taught language, spoken by about 250 million people around the world. So less commonly taught does not mean less widely spoken. One of the reasons why we want to advance the study of LCTLs on our campus is that there are not as many opportunities for students in the United States, both at the K-12 level and at the university level, to study these languages. And the University of Wisconsin-Madison, as you rightly pointed out, has long been a place where people can come from around the country or around the world to study these languages. And one of our programs related to LCTLs is a Department of Defense program called the Language Flagships. So the Department of Defense funds these programs, and these students study in this Wisconsin Summer Language Institute, and then they go overseas and do further study. So by the end of the time in Wisconsin and then overseas, these are highly proficient language speakers.
People, policymakers, taxpayers, whoever might look and say, yeah, these programs are great for the student, right, who receives this funding. What's in it for us? How do you see these things spilling over and benefiting a broader Wisconsin community off campus?
Absolutely. I mean, I could take simply the economic competitiveness point. Wisconsin, I think, in 2024 had about $27 billion in exports. Our major trading partners, Mexico, China, Germany, Australia, and Canada, and arguably you can get by pretty well in most of Canada, though not all of Canada, in English. Mexico, China, Germany, and the many other countries with whom we trade do not have English as the primary language. I often hear people say, but English is spoken all around the world. And it's true that it is a primary second language, but only about 15% of the world's population speaks English at a highly proficient level. Most people speak it, you know, at the way that perhaps I might speak German at this point. I can get by, but I certainly would not be able to negotiate a trade agreement in that language. So it's very important for our economic competitiveness in this state and in this nation for us to have people with that high level of language proficiency. That is, I think, one of the important reasons for continuing to support these languages. I also think that we need to recognize that the state of Wisconsin has always been and continues to be a very diverse state. I was looking up some information. I saw that in 1910, 25% of the residents of the state of Wisconsin spoke German and spoke only German. Our primary languages other than English are Hmong, Spanish, and German. So we have many speakers of languages other than English, or they are bilingual or multilingual speakers. And I think it's important for us to serve those residents as well as monolingual English speakers in this state. And that means having doctors, having teachers, having social workers, having people that we interact with on a regular basis, whether they're police officers, firefighters, who have multilingual competence. Certainly, they cannot know all the languages in the state, but for us to be able to have someone, let's say, in a hospital who could translate for a new arrival, an immigrant or refugee, or someone who's recently moved to the state who is not yet proficient in English, serves all of us very well.
As we wrap up, I think sometimes language instruction may be seen as an elective or an extra, an optional thing. Can you make the case for keeping it at the core of our education?
Well, I can speak perhaps from a personal example. I grew up in a family. My father was an immigrant. English was his third language. He became a linguistics professor and taught Russian. My mother grew up in the United States, but she learned Spanish and she became a Spanish teacher. So I was raised in that kind of family where it was assumed that we would learn a second language at some point. So it has always been, in my view, part of a well-rounded education. If we are going to be a world-class university, if we're going to be a state that promotes a world-class education for our K-12 students, then we need to be preparing students to engage in the world within the boundaries of the United States that is increasingly multilingual, and for the world outside of our borders where most people do speak more than one language. So I see it as very important for kind of equating a quality education and a world-class education with language instruction.
Fran, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Okay, thank you so much, Rob. Enjoy the rest of your day.
That was Frances Vavras, Vice Provost and Dean of the International Division at UW-Madison. We've been talking about the impact of funding cuts on language programs around the state and what those programs mean for their local communities. Now we head over to see how this is affecting students and the community in western Wisconsin. Kaishan Kong is Professor of Chinese Language and Culture and Second Language Acquisition at UW-Eau Claire. Kaishan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
As we've been hearing, we've got these federal funding cuts to different language programs. How are you feeling that impact at UW-Eau Claire?
That's a very good question. Yes. So on September 10th, many of the language instructors, educators know that the U.S. Department of Education announced the discontinuation of some of the funding for language-related programs. And as a language instructor and educator, I feel very sad to see that because I think discontinuing funding for language-related programs really significantly reduced the transformative professional learning opportunities for language instructors and also future language educators. And I think other ripple effects would be seeing language programs being reduced and our class size cap being increased. And it's sad to see language programs more and more being considered as extra service program for others, while in reality, we are providing high impact learning.
Can you talk about the impact of that learning? How do programs in, say, Chinese and other languages at UW-Eau Claire benefit the wider community in, say, western Wisconsin?
I think in some people's mind, there is a misconception that language learning is like something you can do to fill your schedule or something extra. But we are really providing high impact learning and serving the wider community. So, for instance, our students from our language program in Eau Claire, our students are active and engaged participants in community service, such as translation, interpretation at different settings like court, schools, healthcare facilities. And we also are a huge producer of local K-12 schools language teachers. And some of our alumni are stellar and well-known nationally award-winning teachers in our local school. They were our alumni. We also provide bilingual summer camp for our young kids, young learners in Eau Claire and wider community. So we're helping to produce the next generation of multilingual learners.
I wanted to ask about Chinese language education in particular. It's not one of the more commonly taught languages in the U.S., say, at the high school level, but just Mandarin Chinese, I was looking at the chart, it's the number one most spoken first language in the world. Throw in other varieties of the Chinese language, you're up well over a billion people speaking these things. Tell us a little bit about what you see as the value of having Chinese language education available for students in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. And I think you had a good point. There is such a large population of people speaking Chinese. Like basically wherever you go in the world, you have a big chance of meeting someone who speaks Chinese, Mandarin or Cantonese or other dialects. And I think firstly, it's a very cool thing for students to do. So I always tell students, if you learn the Mandarin, may not be the easiest language to learn, but you're the coolest person on your block. How many of you can do that? So I think wherever you travel, you have a chance of knowing people that you normally would not know if you travel to other places if you do not speak the language. Like you can get to know the nuances and the culture. You can really improve the cultural empathy and really get to know people, go beyond learning from the textbook, go beyond the tourist asking for direction. If you know the language, you have the cultural curiosity. And so in our Chinese language program, although Eau Claire Chinese program is only a certificate, our students are really doing incredible work to go beyond the classroom. And our Eau Claire also has a large number of Chinese international students, and we have some scholars as well. So in our program, we really just not only teach the language, but also our students, local Eau Claire students, become natural bridges to connect these international students and scholars from China or Chinese-speaking regions to the local Eau Claire community. So they can have events together, they can communicate, they can learn from each other's culture. So I think that's also another example to show how Chinese program is serving the community. And our students in the past helped local tour agencies translate traveling brochures to make them multilingual. And we offer Lunar New Year celebrations for our local communities too.
You mentioned earlier your concern that people might see foreign language education, maybe study abroad programs as an extra or a luxury or something like that. As we wrap up, make the case for the importance of these programs, of making language learning available to people in Wisconsin.
Right. And thank you for giving me the chance to give the counter argument, because I absolutely argue that language and study abroad programs are not luxuries or extra programs, because we are providing high impact learning, because the world develops regardless whether we participate or not. I really think we should prepare and engage our students to dive in, to engage in this global development. When students go beyond bubbles, they will see that the world is more complex than what they learn from the textbook. And let's not forget, Eau Claire is one of the top producers of Fulbright student assistants in the country. And I think it reflects our record of excellent work in producing multilingual and multicultural learners. So I think we should definitely continue and improve the language and study abroad programs.
Kaishan, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Kaishan Kong is professor of Chinese language and culture and second language acquisition at UW-Eau Claire. We also heard from Francis Vavris, vice provost and dean of the international division at UW-Madison, been talking about challenges faced by language programs at the universities of Wisconsin and beyond in the wake of federal funding cuts.